Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Braskem's second quarter of 2017 earnings conference call. Today with us we have Fernando Mussa, CEO, Pedro Freitas, CFO, and Pedro Teixeira, IR and Controller Director. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Braskem remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer section. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We have simultaneous webcasts that may be accessed through Braskem's IR website at www.braskem-ri.com.br and the NZIQ platform, where the slide presentation is available for download. Please feel free to flip through the slides during the conference call. There will be a replay facility for this call on the website. We remind you that questions which will be answered during the Q&A session may be posted in advance on the website. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Braskem management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Braskem and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Pedro Teixeira, IR and Controller Director. Mr. Teixeira, you may begin your conference.
Hello, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for participating in the second quarter earnings conference call. Let's start with our presentation, moving straight to our slide number three, where we will highlight the results of our operations in Brazil. So in Brazil, the crackers operated at an average utilization rate of 93%. It was 2 percentage points down when compared to the first quarter 2017, mainly as a result of a scheduled shutdown in our cracker in São Paulo, which lasted for approximately 12 days. But apart for that, it was a good quarter in terms of operations. There was a good performance in our crackers, and we achieved a record utilization rate production in our cracker in Rio de Janeiro, which is the one that is gas-based. The Brazilian demand recovered a little bit. It achieved 1.3 million tons in the second quarter 2017, and it was a growth by 2% when compared with the first quarter 2017, and a growth by 4% when compared to the second quarter 2016. In this quarter, the company posted in the Brazilian market 835,000 tons of resin. In terms of exports, the company reduced the exports of resins by 12% when compared with the first quarter as a consequence of the shutdown that occurred in the second quarter 2017, and 19% when compared to the second quarter 2016, mainly because the company is prioritizing the volume placed in the domestic market because it generates a better margin when compared to exports. In terms of basic petrochemical, we have a huge production of basic petrochemical. We are exporting a relevant amount. There was an increase by 6% in this quarter when compared with the second quarter 2016 because of the very good margins that we are getting in the international market with these basic petrochemicals projects. The operations in Brazil generated an EBITDA of 2.4 billion reais, equivalent to around $750 million. And this includes the results of our divestment and the capital gain that we obtained with the divestment of our former distributor, chemical distributor, Quantic, that occurred in April. And the results in Brazil achieved 74% of the consolidated results of Braskem. Moving to slide number four, it shows some graphics that highlight the results in Brazil. So we achieved an EBITDA margin in this quarter of 26%. Yet it considers the divestment, the results as a consequence of the divestment of Quantic that occurred in April. Without the impact of 277 of capital gain that affects the results in Brazil in this quarter, the EBITDA would be 10% smaller than what was achieved in the first quarter, especially affected by the compression in the basic petrochemical spreads prices. In fact, the basic petrochemical spread prices in the first quarter was incredibly high in the international market, so it was not effectively a compression. It was just the fact that the basic petrochemical price returned to their regular levels, and this happened in the second quarter, so affecting the results of our units of the results in Brazil in this quarter. Moving to slide number five, we are focusing here in the results of our operations in the U.S. and Europe and also in Mexico. Beginning with the U.S. and Europe, we made an adjustment in our nominal capacity. It was not an investment, a new investment. We increased the nominal capacity of the units in Europe by 80,000 tons per year. So we are now considering a total nominal capacity in Europe of 625,000 tons per year. The company has been made several minor investments, revamps, adjustments over the years, and the prior capacity, the nominal capacity that we were considering, didn't represent exactly the capacity of the company, so we decided to make this adjustment by 80,000 tons per year. Already considering this new utilization capacity, the utilization rate of the PP plants in U.S. and Europe achieved 95%. It was 6% down when compared with the first quarter 2017, mainly because of an unscheduled shutdown of our Schkopau plant in Germany, which lasted for 15 days. So this affected the utilization rates in Europe and in the region. In terms of sales, the total sales in U.S. and Europe from these plants achieved 616,000 tons. It was a decrease by 3% when compared to the first quarter 2017, and an increase by 6% when compared to the second quarter 2016. In U.S. and Europe posted an EBITDA of $120 million, equivalent to 385 million reais, and represented 12% of the consolidated results of all segments of Braskem. In Mexico, the PE plants operated at an average utilization rate of 83%. It was smaller than what was posted in the first quarter when we posted 97% of utilization rate. We faced some operational adjustments and a reduced level of ethane by our supplier in Mexico in this second quarter. The beef production amounted to 217,000 tons, 13% lower in this quarter when compared with the first quarter for the same reasons. But we were able to post the majority of sales in the Mexican market. So more than 50% of the total sales was allocated in the domestic market. The Mexican facilities posted an EBITDA of $142 million, equivalent to 456 million reais, already represents 14% of the consolidated EBITDA of all segments of Braskem. Slide number six shows some highlights about the U.S. and Europe business. I'm going to just focus on the spreads, that they are very regular and very stable in the range of 570 in U.S. and around 500 in Europe. There was an increase in spreads due to a greater demand that we faced in the second quarter in Europe. However, the result of the company was a decrease by the EBITDA decreased from 188 in the first quarter to 220 in the second quarter 2017. We had the Chocopal unscheduled shutdown and also some inventory effects that affected the results in this region. Moving to slide number seven, it shows some highlights of the Mexican operations. You can see the impact that we faced in the operational rate from 97 to 83. In an average, the utilization rate in Mexico, we have in year to date 90% of utilization rate. And we expect that a more stable utilization rate over the following quarters. On the graph showing on the left lower side of the slide, it shows the EBITDA that achieved $142 million and equivalent to an EBITDA margin of 52%. The spread on the left, on the right lower side of the slide, it shows they decreased by 5% when compared to the first quarter, with as a consequence of the new capacity of PE that are coming on stream in U.S. Moving to slide number eight, it shows the consolidated results of the company. EBITDA reached $945 million in this quarter, equivalent to $3 billion. It was an increase by 10% when compared to the second quarter 2016, mainly because in the second quarter 2016 we didn't have Mexico facilities full operation, what we have right now, and also it was impacted by the capital gain of our divestment of Quantic that occurred in April. The net income of the company reached 1 billion reais, and these on a year-to-date, the net income already amounted 3 billion reais, which is equivalent to 3.6 reais per share of Braskem. I will skip the net debt, the leverage ratio. I'm going to talk later in the following slide. It is important to remember that the company paid in this quarter 607 million reais to the authorities. That was already paid at 607 million. There were two payments that occurred in the second quarter, one to the SEC, equivalent to $65 million, and another to of 30 million Swiss francs to the Swiss authorities. And there was another payment that occurred in the first quarter of $95 million to the Department of Justice. Moving to slide number nine, it shows the increase that in terms of EBITDA from the second quarter 2016 to the second quarter 2017. The results are mainly related to volumes, and these volumes came from Mexico, because in the second quarter 2016 we didn't have Mexico full operation. It was on its ramp up phase, and also the capital gain that we obtained with divestment from Quantique. Moving to slide number 10, and here it shows the leverage and the amortization profile of the company. The company achieved a net debt of $5.1 billion, very stable when compared with the first quarter 2017. We closed the quarter, we ended the quarter with a cash position of $2.3 billion, around that $2.3 billion, around $900 million was invested in U.S. dollars, and $1.3 billion U.S. dollars was invested in reais. The leverage ratio, it posted in this quarter 1.63 times. The leverage ratio is calculated by dividing the net debt by the year, the last 12 months of the EBITDA of the company. So it reached 1.6 times in the second quarter. If you consider the liabilities, the obligations towards the authorities, the leverage ratio achieved 1.85 times this quarter, very stable and very comfortable. Moving to slide number 11. In this slide, we discuss about the investments of the company. The company has an investment plan without considering the new investment of PP plant in the U.S. that was approved by the board of Braskem very recently. But without that, we have an investment plan of 1.8 billion reais. Among that, we have already invested 700 million reais, and the majority of that was an investment in Brazil. And among these investments of 585 million reais that was invested in Brazil in the first half of 2017, 559 million reais was related to the project to diversify feedstock in profile in our cracker in Bahia, which already reached 62% of completion and is expected to be concluded by the end of 2017. As I said, this capex of 1.8 billion for a year does not consider the new PP plant in the U.S. that was approved by the board. The approved investment, the total approval investment is up to $675 million. We are already checking how much of that will be invested in the first half, in the second half of 2017, but we understand that it should be in the range of 15% of this amount. In terms of capacity, this facility should reach a total capacity of 450,000 tons of polypropylene in per year, and the startup is expected for 2020. And this new investment is aligned with the consistent with the strategy of Braskem to diversify its feedstock profile, because the feedstock will be propylene, and also to expand geographically in the Americas and increase our leadership in the PP business in the U.S. Moving to slide number 12, it shows our compliance program. This is a very relevant point for us. We are being in the evolution of the compliance program. The compliance program is formed by 10 projects, which is composed by 154 initiatives. So in this second quarter, 12 new initiatives were concluded. So it was increased the number of team members in compliance department in Mexico and in U.S. There was a development in global training plan on the compliance for team members. There was a development in global communication plan for disseminating the compliance commitment to conduct its business with ethics, integrity, and transparency, and improving process and defining protocols for investigating reports of violation. So, in total, among the 154 initiatives, it was already completed 62, so the project is moving forward, and it's a priority for the company. Moving to slide number 13, this chart shows the evolution of the expected expansions for 2017 from consulting companies. And what we are seeing here is that the expected amount of PE that is about to come in 2017 is reducing over time. So in the first quarter of 2016, it was expected by the consulting firms a total of 7.5 million tons of PE in 2017. This amount was reduced by 9%, reaching 6.8 when we read the same report in the first quarter 2017. And now the reduction, the total expected capacity of PE, new capacity for 2017 had already reduced it to 6.7. So some of the capacity were canceled, some of the new capacity were postponed. So the total capacity, in fact, what happens is that the total capacity that we expect for 2017 is lower than what we expected a couple of months ago. This is positive to the point that the impact in the spreads for PE that we have now should be a bit lower than what we expected in the prior quarters. Moving to slide number 14, and now we are getting to the end of our presentation. This slide aims to show how we see our business in the second quarter when compared, second half of the year, when compared with the first half of the year. So beginning in terms of volumes in Brazil, the market increased by 4%. We expect the demand in Brazil to increase, but it should increase a bit less than 4%. So as an average, we expect for the year around 2-3% for 2017 when compared with 2016. With respect to spreads that affect the Brazilian region, we expect the PP spreads to remain relatively stable. With the new capacity that are coming online in the U.S. For the second half of the year, we expect a little bit pressure of PE spreads in the second half. Spreads for PVC should recover a little bit. That's our expectation, and spreads for basic petrochemicals in the second half should be smaller than in the first half of the year. That was extraordinarily high in the first half of 2017. Moving to U.S. and Europe, in terms of demand, it should be relatively stable. In U.S., the demand is growing a little bit higher than in Europe, but we don't expect too much movement in this region. But we do expect some improvement in the spreads of PP, especially in U.S. with the new capacity of propylene, so putting some pressure reduction in our feedstock costs. So with new capacity of propylene in U.S., this should generate better spreads of PP in the region. In Mexico, the market remains, we expect the market to remain very healthy. Spreads in the region, yes, should be pressured by the new capacity of PE in the region. And that's pretty much how we see the evolution of our key business over the next half of the year. And finally, moving to the last slide, it shows our four main concentrations of the company, the main priorities. So the first one is related to productivity and competitiveness. The focus of the company is on the operational and commercial efficiency. Second, and feedstock diversification is something that the company is already doing, and as a consequence of that are the new facilities in Mexico. So the company on the long run expects to have a lower concentration in terms of feedstock on the naphtha and a greater concentration in terms of gas, and also expand the global presence with gains in scale, especially PEPP, and the new investment of PP in U.S. is an example of that as well. And the fourth concentration is the foundation of all the other concentration, and it's related to reputation and governance. This is a priority for the company, and it will help to strengthen Braskem's image and reputation. Thanks for hearing the conference, the presentation. I'm going to move now to the Q&A session.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Sarah Leonard of Barclays. You may proceed.
Hi, thanks very much for the call, and thanks for taking my question. I just had two quick questions. One is regarding the utilization rate in Mexico. Can you provide a little bit more detail on how it was that Pemex underserved the ethane contract and how that will be corrected going forward? And my second question is regarding the shareholder agreement between Petrobras and Odebrecht that entered into negotiations last month, if you're able to provide us with any more detail on those discussions. Thanks.
Thanks, Sarah, for your questions. Talking first, this is Fernando Musa. Talking about the utilization rate in Mexico, the challenge we faced in the second quarter came from two sides. First, we had on our side some issues identified during the previous month when we were running really hard that we decided to invest some time to fix, to improve. And at the same time, Pemex faced some challenges on their operational efficiency and effectiveness, especially around their fractionation, that led to a reduced supply for a few days. Those two topics have been addressed. And as we move forward into the third quarter, July and August, we see the utilization rate going back up towards something that is closer to what would be expected given where we are in the ramp-up curve of the project. I would say that the first quarter was actually an outlier in the sense that it is extremely rare that you start up a project of this size and complexity and reach the very high utilization rates that we had in the first quarter. It was a coincidence of very, very positive scenarios all over where everything worked perfectly well. And unfortunately, this is not how those plants work. There's always some mishaps somewhere. And so if we take the average of the first half, which is somewhat in the 90% range in Mexico, and compare it to the utilization rate that we have been delivering in Brazil, which is in the 92-93% range, I would say that this is a good proxy for what to expect going forward. As I mentioned before, those small improvements and fix have been done on our ends, and Pemex performance has been improving as they fix their operational problems on their end. On their shareholder agreement, Petrobras and Odebrecht made a public announcement that they have decided to discuss changes in the shareholder agreement between the two of them. The objective that they have stated for that is to identify ways to unlock and create value for all shareholders of Braskem through improvement of governance. This is a dialogue where Braskem's management team is not a direct participant. It is a discussion between the shareholders. We will, at some point in the future, be involved, given the fact that Braskem, as the object of the shareholder agreement and an intervening party, is a co-signer of the agreement. But this involvement will happen at due time. And my expectation is that this is going to be once they have reached the decision among the two of them about what changes, if any, they would like to implement. So as soon as we receive information from the shareholders, we'll communicate the relevant information to the market as we get them.
Great. Thanks very much, and congratulations on the results for the quarter and on trialing your audited financials.
Thank you.
I would like to remind you that if you have a question, please press star 1. Please hold while we poll for questions. Please hold while we poll for questions. I would like to remind you that to ask a question, you must press star 1. Our next question comes from John Hughes of Morgan Stanley. You may proceed.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. I just wanted to do one quick follow-up. So you have the Board of Directors approved the polypropylene plant in Texas. Can you maybe go over where you are in the stage? You're past the study and the feasibility stage. You know, when do you plan to start the investment, and maybe what kind of financing options that you are potentially planning for it? Are you going to look to take on a partner, et cetera? Maybe you can give some further information on that. Thanks.
Hello, John. Thank you for your question. So just a quick recap. This is our sixth production line in the U.S. in the polypropylene business. It will be built at our La Porte site, where we already have another polypropylene line, and it is also the site where we built our UPEC line, our ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene line. It's a very large site, where we have enough land and utilities and infrastructure available to support that new investment. This project has been evaluated for the last couple of years. We got final approval from the board to go ahead in June. We have finished what is called FEED, front-end engineering detailing, which is the first phase of engineering. We have already signed an EPC contract, engineering, procurement, and construction, with one large construction company or EPC company. This has been signed already. We are pretty advanced in the detailed engineering and in the procurement phase, where most, basically all of the long lead items have already been purchased. The purchase orders have been placed. And we have started a couple of weeks ago to purchase some of the bulk materials as well that tend to be bought after you buy the long lead items and the large equipment. We expect to have construction starting over the next 2 to 3 months on the site. We are finalizing parts of the subcontracting that the EPC company is going to do for some specialty work that is related to the beginning of the construction. So the project, I would say, is migrating for from a analysis phase to an execution phase really fast with, as I mentioned, detail engineering already started, most of the relevant procurement activities done, and construction soon to start. As far as the structure of the project, we do not intend to have a partner. This is a up to $675 million investment, which is something that Braskem's balance sheet can finance. It is an addition to a current business. It is an additional line into a larger site. So not only we don't see the need for bringing a partner, but if we were to decide to bring a partner, it would add significant complexities given that it's a part of a larger business, part of a larger site. All those issues could be dealt with, but it would add complexity. It's a very different situation to the Mexico project where we had no business, a new country for us, or where having a local partner would make a lot of difference. For this, when we don't need a local partner, we are the local operators. It is a significant investment, but it's an add into a business that has been running for many, many years with five other sites around the country. John, this is Pedro Freitas. Just to complement on the financing, we have approved the project. The board has approved the project considering corporate funding by Braskem. So any reduction on the cost of capital that we are able to achieve through, for example, special funding arrangements will be accretive to the value of the project. We are looking at alternatives that are usual for this type of project, such as ECA funding. So that will most likely be a source of funds for the project. And we're also looking at other alternatives. But as a whole, all of these alternatives will add value on top of our perception of the value of the project as approved by the board.
Okay, thank you very much.
I would like to remind you that if you have a question, please press star 1. Please hold again while we pull for questions. I'll turn over to the company for closing remarks. Thank you.
I would like to thank all of you for joining the call. This was a very positive quarter with a combination of good results from an operational financial point of view, important movement in the strategic side with the approval of the investment in the U.S., the end of our dialogue with the auditors and therefore the publishing of our financial statements in regard to audited financial statements in regard to the 2016 balance sheet. And as a complement of that, I would like to mention that today is a special day in Braskem history. It is our 15th year anniversary, and it's a moment where after a very positive, productive, successful first 15 years, we are ready for a continuation of the deployment of our strategy. And we decided to mark that date, that event, that transition with a modernization of our brand, our visual entity. You might have noticed in the presentation that the logo has been adapted. And this is part of a broader repositioning and restatement of the brand that will basically reinforce our core values, our core beliefs, around our way of thinking, our way of challenging ourselves, always in the search of better solutions for society through chemistry and plastics, and doing that, working through people, the core of our strategy is our people on our end when interacting with people, other clients, other suppliers, and providing services, products, solutions for people in the society towards having a better life. So thank you very much for participating, and looking forward to talking to you in the next quarter.
Thank you. This concludes today's Braskem's earnings conference call. You may disconnect your lines at this time.